There's more at stake in November than just who will occupy the Oval Office. Every seat in the House and a third of those in the Senate are also in play. Today, the Institute for Policy Studies issued what they're calling a congressional report card for the 99%. Every member of Congress is given a grade from A+ to F based on their votes on a series of bills that either benefit the most affluent Americans or enhance economic opportunities for the rest of us. Chuck Collins, a senior scholar at IPS, says there were a few surprises in the results. For example, he thought the wealthiest Congress members would be most likely to vote in the interests of the well-off, but that wasn't necessarily the case.
We looked at the 20 wealthiest members of Congress, but 13 of them actually got passing grades in terms of voting for policies that would reduce inequality. Only one got a total F, and that was a congressman from New Jersey, Rodney Frelinghuysen, who got like $22 million and basically votes to perpetuate his own wealth. So there isn't necessarily a correlation between having a lot of money and voting to only advance the interests of the 1%.
What was not surprising, I suppose, is that there was a correlation between party affiliation and grade. There were 48 failing grades in Congress, all of them Republicans.
Yeah, in some ways that's because the parties vote as blocks most of the time. What we did was we actually looked also at interesting pieces of legislation that either would have dramatically reduced inequality or were obviously 1% friendly, like eliminating the inheritance tax. And even if that legislation didn't come up for a vote, we looked at who introduced those, who co-sponsored. So we got a better reading on who were sort of the activists within each party, whether they were active for the 1% or active for the 99%. And that's where we could sort of see a breakdown, and you could actually find 20 or so Republicans that got passing grades, C's, if you will, in terms of policies to reduce inequality. And we also found a lot of Democrats who got very low grades because they kept supporting policies that primarily benefit the 1%.
Was there a correlation between the relative economic health of a state and the voting records of their representatives?
No. In fact, some of the states that have the worst levels of inequality, like Arkansas, their members of Congress consistently voted to worsen economic inequality. Although the state of Massachusetts also has pretty high levels of inequality, and the state delegation from Massachusetts pretty much all had A's in terms of reducing inequality. So there were a number of states where there was a big disconnect. Very unequal, very grotesque disparities of wealth within a state, and yet you had legislators who were basically voting to worsen that condition.
And how about correlations between other issues? There are the bills that would either increase or decrease inequality, and there are issues like clean energy or climate change. Did those line up in a noticeable pattern?
That's a good question. I haven't looked at all the report cards across the spectrum, but I think what unfortunately you do see is there is sort of like a right-wing worldview and I guess a liberal worldview, and then people sort of more or less don't deviate from that. So you saw Republicans that were consistently voting for policies that would worsen inequality also were climate deniers and voted for the oil industry. And some of that was a function of the money. Like we could actually look at the Koch brothers as predicted gave the failing 48 huge amounts of money went from the oil industry and from the fossil fuel industry, if you will, to support those legislators with the worst grades on the inequality issue. So there's definitely a correlation there.
What can be done with this information? What do you hope to be able to accomplish by putting out this report card?
Well, I think this has been a year where people are paying attention to inequality. But the votes or the policies around that, how it is that inequality grows, can be mystifying. So we tried to demystify it. We said, here's 40 legislative issues. But I guess our goal is we want people to look at politics and voting through the lens of the 99 to 1 themes. You know, are they with the 1% consistently? Are they voting for tax breaks for the rich? Are they always consistently voting for big corporations over small businesses? Because we think if people look at their votes and their politicians and rank them based on the 99 to 1 criteria, if people vote that way, we would have a political realignment in this country. It's the fact that many of these politicians are mystifying their records or saying, oh, well, I care about the working poor, but then consistently vote for the 1%. So we're just trying to demystify which side are you on, 99 or the 1%?
And how do you hope to get this information out there? Because anything that's labeled 99% and 1% is going to fail to make it onto Fox News, which is the major source of information for a really big swath of this country. So is
sure.
there a way to
yeah.
break through the right-wing progressive media boundaries that sometimes keep people from being informed about their own legislators?
The report just came out today, and it's already been on ABC and NBC and a number of networks and kind of more mainstream media. And part of it's just, I think people understand we've become a more unequal country. So what are the rule changes and policies that have worsened inequality, and which ones have made it better? And I talk about it as the voting guide for the 99%, but the reality is it's who's voting to worsen inequality, who's voting to reduce it. And I think that's a frame that many more Americans are paying attention to right now.
Chuck Collins is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. The complete congressional report card for the 99% is available online at ips-dc.org.